Blog Talk Radio.
Today's guest is author and former Gresham, Oregon mayor, Gussie McRobert. She has a brand new book called From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive. It's a life story of hope, recovery, and success. And Gussie has an incredible story to tell that began very, very tragically with her own mother trying to kill her when she was a baby. But Gussie didn't let that stand in the way, nor any of the other trials and tribulations that she ran into during her life, and became a very successful health care provider, a nurse, a professional broadcaster there in the state of Oregon in television and radio, and went on to become the mayor of Gresham, Oregon, which is one of the largest cities in the state, for over 10 years, where she got the nickname Give 'em Hell Gussie for her outspokenness and her toughness in trying to get things done to make things better for residents there in her town of Gresham, Oregon. The book is From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive, and it's available on Gussie's website, GussieMcRobert.com. And as you click through that website, you'll find some pretty incredible reviews of the book, too. It's been called a wonderful story of overcoming life's obstacles. A gentleman who was a former Gresham City Councilor that served under Gussie called it a no-nonsense style of telling her story that's true Gussie. And as the story is told, you'll be drawn into this true story of survival. It's called compelling and noteworthy. And Gussie, a real trailblazer for women all over America with this story. And Gussie McRobert is our guest today on WAMS Radio. And Gussie, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Now, you've been on the radio and on television for your entire career of over 30 years, but now you're doing things a little differently. Rather than being the host and the interviewer, you're now an interviewee. How is that feel to you?
It's fun.
Are you enjoying the process of getting out and telling people about this book, even though there's some painful truths in this book? Is it ever difficult for you to talk about these things?
No, it isn't. I wrote the book because I almost died in 2004, and I realized when I didn't die that for my family I needed to write this stranger-than-history life I've led and needed to get it in writing on paper to preserve it for generations after generations in our family, and it's ended up a book that people are getting healed by reading, and it's just been a wonderful journey.
You know, there's a quote on your website, GussieMcRobert.com, from the gentleman who is the publisher of the Gresham Outlook, Mark Garber, and he calls you Gresham's most memorable mayor.
Yes, I was astounded at that.
Well, you know, let's take folks through who may not have read the book yet a little bit of your backstory. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, it begins with you as an infant, and your own mother tried to kill you. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. She had had. If you were the oldest daughter in those days, you were the family slave. So when she was 14, her father said she couldn't go to school anymore, and her job until she was 33, that's for 19 years, was to stay home and take care of the ever-increasing family. And then she married. She finally escaped that after 19 years. Married, had a couple of kids that were about to grow up out and go out of the nest, and her husband was struck by lightning and killed.
Oh, my.
And her oldest brother, came to the funeral, and 10 months later, I was born. And so here she was, stuck another 20 years with a kid that she didn't want. And her family shunned her. They were very religious. Her grandfather was a minister, and you did not have children unless you were married.
Sure.
And so she was totally banned by her family. So she had lots of reasons to hate this kid that appeared. And so her answer to that was I didn't learn this until I was 41 years old when my sister told me that she would put me on the kitchen counter and prop me up with pillows, hoping that I would roll off and kill myself in the process. And fortunately for me, my brother and sister caught her. And so they took turns staying home from school to protect me from my mother. And she was abusive until I got to be as big as she was and I could hit her back.
What an unbelievable story. Gussie, did your older siblings also have abuse at the hands of your mom?
No. She never abused them. She wanted them, you know. She didn't want this children that embarrassed her,
right,
caused her to be shunned, and caused her to lose her freedom for another, you know, for until this kid grew up.
And by doing it in this way, it would look very much like an accident. This baby,
right? Exactly, because infanticide was illegal, but it was hard to prove.
Sure.
But when it was, and there were some witnesses there, of course, my brother and sister, it was death by hanging. So she had to make it look accidental. She couldn't just put her hands around my neck, so to speak.
Gussie McRobert is our guest, and the book is From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive. It's available on her website, gussiemcrobert.com, and it's despite a tough beginning, it's really a story of hope, recovery, and ultimately success. But boy, what a beginning. Now, when you're 41 years old and you hear this from your sister, that this happened to you, I read your book, Gussie, and I know that you mentioned in the book that you had nightmares for years about falling.
Yes, I did. Every night I dreamed, you know, I just didn't think much about it. It was just something that happened when I went to sleep. I dreamed I was falling. It was dark. I was looking up into the darkness with my arms out and slightly bent up, and then I would just keep falling and falling and falling and falling, before I hit the bottom, I would wake up with just a jolt and no explanation. I don't think I even talked about it. I mean, it was just a dream.
Right.
I didn't associate it with anyone in the family. But after my sister told me about it, then my husband and I were going to, it was Ford 75th, he was a Ford dealer, and it was Ford 75th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Detroit at the newly built Renaissance Center, which was 73 stories high. And at the third floor, one of the elevators is on the outside of the building. And I got in that elevator accidentally.
Oh,
my. It looks like any other elevator until, you know, you're in this, like any tall building, there's a bank of elevators, you know, on the first floor.
Sure.
And, I was in the back, and I was terrified, to say the least. This man
sure.
was holding the door open for everybody, and he was going to let his wife off, and he took one look at me, and he said, "We better let that woman out of here." And so I decided that I had had enough of this, and I'm grateful, so grateful that my sister finally told me so I could put it all together.
Sure.
That so I spent the rest of that conference. I didn't go to any of the day meetings, and I rode that elevator, and there also was this terrible escalator that was like a couple stories high, but not supported. It was just kind of suspended. And that was terrifying. So I rode that escalator. I spent every day, all day, riding that escalator and that elevator, the one that hung outside the building. And every repetition helped overcome that. So by the time I left there, I dreamed I was flying instead of falling.
What a great story. Gussie McRobert is our guest today, and if you'd like to speak with her, maybe you have suffered abuse somewhere in your past and you need some tips on how to overcome. Our telephone number to call is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. You can also email us in our chat room here at WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. As you began to get older, Gussie, and you said that your mother continued to be abusive towards you until you got to the point where you were big enough that you could fight back, was there ever a moment where you reconciled with your mom before she passed away?
Well, you know, the one thing I regret in my life is that after I knew this, I did not confront her. I think she went to her grave thinking that she had kept her secret.
Right.
But I think, you know, having known that, I just stayed. My response to that was to be with her as little as possible.
Sure.
And if you lived out in the country and it was safe in those days for kids to just roam, and there were a bunch of us, and so I went home to eat and sleep, and that was about it.
And stay out of the house, sure.
Yep. And when my father and my brother and my sister were there, then she didn't hit me.
Did your father eventually go on to marry your mother?
No, they never married. They had the same last name, Augustus.
Sure.
Because he was the brother, so they passed as a married couple. And common law marriage was common and legal in those days. So in any state in the Union, that marriage would have, I mean, their relationship would have been considered legal.
The book is From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive, A Life Story of Hope, Recovery, and Success. And Gussie McRobert is our guest today on WAMS. Sadly, you know, the abuse didn't stop even as you grew into womanhood. You got married, and this continued on with your first husband.
Yes, it did, because I didn't I didn't take any steps to I didn't understand really the psychological damage that I had, how deep that was, and how much it affected my choices in life. And I think I did have a warning, because I was at Providence Hospital in Portland, and he was a physician and I was a student nurse, and I refused. He wanted me to go out with him, and I refused for months and months and months. I just didn't want anything to do with him. And I did have a warning not to, but he just kept after me, and he wore me down.
Right.
I let him wear me down. And
how long did you stay in that marriage, Gussie?
Pardon?
How long did you stay in that marriage?
It was 10 years. 10 years, and it was murder by neglect. I had a difficult pregnancy. I was hit by a car when I was 3 months pregnant, and so I was in and out of the hospital when I had kidney infections. And he got very tired of those. And after I came home, after Tim was born, I hemorrhaged. And he wouldn't help me.
A physician, he would not help you.
He would not help me. I crawled about 30 feet from the bathroom to my bed where there was a telephone, and I called my doctor, and I called an ambulance. And then when I came home from the hospital, I had a staph infection, and I fainted and had to do the same thing. And my doctor would not release me from the hospital until I had reservations in Hawaii, and I had an appointment with his wife's attorney, who took him to the cleaners. He was taking good care of me, because he said, "You will not live to raise your children if you stay with them. You've got to get out of there." And I was at the same, I had reached the same conclusion, but it really helped to have he was my urologist, but it helped to have the support of him and my obstetrician. They both felt the same way.
As someone who's lived through this just hellish background, some of it, you know, you couldn't do a whole lot about. As an infant, certainly you can't fight back, but you know, as a young woman in her 20s, I would assume, who's married to
right.
a guy who's taking advantage of you. But Gussie, why is it that you specifically, and you believe other women, put up with that sort of behavior?
Well, you know, it was a totally different scenario back in those days. I mean, people didn't talk about domestic violence. It was a deeply hidden secret. You didn't even talk to about with your best friends. I mean, nobody did. And divorce was the same way. You just didn't do it. And here, you know, I was by that time I was 32, married to the town doctor, Roman Catholic, and there were no shelters. There was no place to go. You know, you were just stuck. And until And after the divorce, he kept trying to break into the house, and he did, but always before I woke up and I you know screamed at him and he left. But one night I didn't hear him come in, and he threw four boxes of Nembutal down on the bed, and he said the kids and I would both be better if you were dead. You know, take these. And I was just in total desperation. I thought, he will never leave me alone. I will never get rid of him. He saw me as his property. And I had no right to a divorce. He thought I did not have any grounds for divorce. And so I went in the bathroom, took them all with hot water, hoping they would work fast. And for some reason, he came back, and as one of my friends pointed out, he would have had a hard time explaining where I got that level of Nembutal, because there would be no prescription that they could follow, and he'd been charged with murder, probably. So that's probably why he did it. But he called an ambulance and sent me to a psychiatric ward. And that was the same time my urologist was after me too to get, but this was after divorce, after I was divorced. So and domestic violence was not illegal.
Is in that
the
right?
1960s. It was perfectly legal for him to be beating up on his wife and trying to kill her. There was absolutely. I'd call the police. And this nice Lou Jones, Officer Jones, would come, and then he would leave. But there was absolutely, you know, and he would write it up. But there was no point, you know. I had an arraignment for him to stay away from the house, but it was unenforceable. Women were the property of men, and there was no legal way to. It was all right to be beaten up.
Gussie McRobert is our guest. The book is From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive, A Life Story of Hope, Recovery, and Success. We've talked about the bad stuff in the beginning. Now we're going to talk about how you really turned your life around. And first, let's see if we can get a caller on the line on WAMS. Hi, you're on the air with Gussie McRobert, caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Burke, this is Bob from Bama. And, Gussie, I represent kids in the court system that are victims of abuse and neglect.
Yeah.
And so often it is domestic violence. And I'm always in the bad guy position of breaking up the family. I believe that these guys who beat up on their wives in front of their kids have about as much chance of being rehabilitated as bowling a 300 game using a golf ball.
Right.
And what advice do you give to the kids to get their life back in order, and what type of counseling regimen might you recommend? And by kids, I'm saying some of them, you know, they range from like 5 up to 16.
Right.
That's a great question.
I talked to my family physician for a referral to a psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, it was the Freudians, and you were supposed to be passive, and you just took whatever your husband did. And he said there was just one psychiatrist in the entire city that was safe for a woman to go to, and his name was Jack Butler, and I went to him, and we had family meetings with him, mm-hmm. and we had those once a week for months and months and months and months to talk about what had happened, to talk about the abuse, and that was not the way the normal family was. And I think that helped. That helped. It helped me, and I think it helped them.
Do you find there are many, counselors that are trained, specifically trained in domestic violence that work with kids? I don't find many out in the rural areas at all.
Now I'm out of it, and I don't really know. To be honest with you,
it's amazing, Gussie, to hear you say that back in the '60s when all this was happening, it was perfectly legal. The police would come, couldn't do a thing about it, and even
right.
when you tried to get psychiatric help, there were very few psychiatrists who wouldn't treat women.
That's exactly right.
Just amazing. Bob, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. And Gussie, a very enjoyable show, and I look forward to reading your book.
Oh, good.
Well, Gussie, we've talked about all the things that happened to sort of lead you up to what became a really successful life. And I think that's really the message I'd like to focus on in the last couple of minutes of our interview today, is how you were able to turn this whole thing around and do some pretty amazing things with your life. You went on to become an on-air personality in television and radio there in your home state of Oregon. You went on to become a very successful nurse. And ultimately, you were the mayor of one of the biggest cities in that town. So what was the aha moment that turned things around for you, or was there one aha moment?
Well, yes, there was, and it was that I was never going to speak to Marshall Brown again. And I got into my a divorce agreement that the place that he would pick the children up for visitations and return them
mm-hmm.
was the county sheriff's office. And so I never spoke to the man again. I have never, in all these years, never had one word with him. And I just went on, and I knew I had to finish my nursing. I had quit to marry him. And in those days, you couldn't just go to another school and finish, so I had to start over. And because if you don't have a way to earn a living, you're at their mercy.
Sure.
So that was the first thing I did, and went to nursing school and worked, and then started on with a, it was going to be a bachelor's degree in nursing, and I changed that to communications because I realized I liked that better. And had the opportunity to work on at two of the leading radio stations in Portland, KKSN, that was the number one, according to the Associated Press, the number one newscast in the state, the 2 years that I was there. And we had a marvelous staff and news director and a second station, and worked at Oregon Public Broadcasting, and that's where I hosted a program called Oregon Reports. And then I got Oregon. Oregon has is the only state that has statewide planning authority, and it was started in the mid 70s, and I was on the county commission that helped plan this. The area between Portland and Gresham was the biggest unincorporated area in the United States, and it was a mess. I mean, there were no sewers. It was all septic tanks, and it was polluting the Columbia River.
Mm-hmm.
And something, you know, had to be done. And so we organized the area into we called them community planning organizations, and so they were basically. We carved it up into committees and let the people help, you know, with the basic rules we had, let the people decide how they wanted their neighborhoods to be. And it went swimmingly, and we got that all done. And Portland accepted those CPOs as part of their neighborhood association, and Gresham wouldn't have anything to do with them. They didn't want any citizen involvement or suggestions. If you were on the council, if you were the mayor, you couldn't bring up anything for the council to consider. The city manager was a dictator, and so the people that I had worked with kept calling me. You know, we've got to do something. They won't accept us. So we got together and we had a meeting, and we decided that we would get as many people as we could, and we'd storm City Hall. And so 300 of us showed up at a council meeting, and I spoke, and a couple of the others, with giving the reasons why it would be good for the city for them to recognize the groups. And we said, we will be back every Tuesday night until you do, 300 strong.
Good.
And so they formed a committee to look at it. And, of course, the outcome was that the city hall needed to be open to the people who were paying the bills, and there needed to be citizen involvement. And then these same 300 people wouldn't let me go until I agreed to run for mayor.
And you did, and obviously you won, and you were in there for 10 years.
For 10 years, yeah.
What an amazing turnaround, and it's so inspiring. We're going to run out of time before too long, but I have to ask you, for someone who's suffering abuse or neglect, what words of advice could you give them to turn around?
Don't keep it secret. It's not your fault. And it's not, and don't feel shame. And there's lots of places to get help. The county health departments, city health departments, Al-Anon helped me a lot. There's Alcoholics Anonymous, and then
sure.
the other group is Al-Anon. And you have to acknowledge that you're being abused and that it's happening, because but you don't want to define yourself as a victim, because then you give your abuser power. And once you have acknowledged this, you know, let it go without blame, and then it gives you the power. And so I think it just changes the mindset, and then you just absolutely refuse to be a victim.
And I love that. Refuse to be a victim. Gussie McRobert is our guest. The book is From Hell and Back, Survive and Thrive, A Life Story of Hope, Recovery, and Success. You can pick it up at GussieMcRobert.com. Gussie, thank you so much for joining us on today.
Thank you.
I'm Burke Allen on WAMS Radio, Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Mama's in the neighborhood.